Hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunshine shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the gospel of our Lord. Amen. Oh, it's good. Well, today I just want to spend time together. I'm going to stop this so you can see me. I want to spend time together just sharing a bit of vision. I'm really excited about what God's been doing. We have been over the last couple of months together praying and asking the Lord for discernment, asking the Lord to give us clear direction as a church as we look ahead, and just asking him some very specific things about what is the burden, what's the part of his heart, the things that he labors for that he's asking us to participate in specifically as a church. And so some of that led us to questions about where he would have us be, who he would have us serve, what that might look like. And as we've been praying and doing that, he's been far from silent. And so before I even share some of these things, I just want to share my excitement and my thankfulness to God for his presence to us and his faithfulness to us. We've been praying, we've been asking him these things, and he's been very faithful to speak and to share with us the things of his heart. And so I just want to bring us up to speed today. I've shared this lots, but again, I would just share that we are going to continue to pray together and to discern and to move forward, that this is actually a mark of what it is to be the people of God, and certainly a mark of our church, that we want to be people who consistently are asking God for direction to lead us. And so we are still on a journey of growing and learning and discerning, but we're certainly not where we were in the fall. When in the fall we came and we just said, "Lord, here we are, lead us one step at a time." And we began to pray for some specific answers. And so I want to share sort of some of the things that we've been hearing God say as a community. I have the distinct privilege of speaking with all of you and being able to just kind of talk and listen and see what God's doing. And so some of this will be new information to some of you. Some of it will be things you've already had conversations together about or with me about, but I just think it's important for us together to all be on the same page, to be able to hear together what it is that we feel like God's doing. And just as your priest and having had good conversations with our leaders, with our elders board and some of our local leaders, I want to be able to share what I think it looks like for us to move forward so that we have some clarity and some unity around that and are able to really come around that together. I woke up this last week, actually, with the Lord speaking to me pretty strongly. And I came into a place of prayer and just listening. I heard him speaking to me about the Holy Spirit and his presence in our lives and his working in our lives and leading in our lives. So I was just listening and praying. And when I came into my place of prayer, I saw that on my phone, I actually had a text from a friend in Calgary, an incredible guy who had just said, "Man, I woke up this morning, the Lord's speaking, look what he's saying." And he just shared some stuff with me, and it was so in line with what I had been hearing. And so I thought, okay, God, you've got my full attention. What do you want to say? And I went into my time of prayer, and actually even my directed time of prayer that day was centered around being able to spend some time reflecting on how God labors for us. The idea that the Lord is actually like God, the creator of the universe, such a grace, such a beautiful thought, but is actually working on our behalf. That we see him, he's active and in action for our sake. And so sitting in reflection to that, there was lots of things I thought about, but the main thing that kept coming back to me was the gift of the Holy Spirit given and his presence in our lives and the way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And the kind of top of the list thing that kept standing out to me as I was praying was the work of the Holy Spirit in by way of conviction. That he labors in our lives, both those of us who are in relationship with God and those who aren't yet. Those who have not heard the good news or have not believed into it yet. The Holy Spirit's at work by way of conviction. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16 that when he comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, this is where he promises, better that I go, because if I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That the reality of it is the things that God would convict us of, the things that he would speak to in our hearts, are actually the things that are unto death. They're the things that have taken us away from our intended purpose, our created intent, which is to live in union, to live in love and in relationship with the God who created us. These things that the Lord would come and that he would convict of are actually the very things that are killing us. And so as I sat and I thought about it, I thought how hard it is. What a labor it is to move in and out of lives of people like me by way of conviction. To continually call me. And the Lord began to show me and bring me into scriptures like Luke chapter 15, where Jesus uses these three kind of parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. And he shows what this labor looks like. That he seeks the lost. And especially when we get to the story of the lost son, we see him at work in the life of this son, who has been allowed to exercise his will and to live in the way that he chooses, but it's led unto nothing good. It's sort of left him at the end of himself. And still, even in that place, God the Father is drawing the Son back to himself. That there's conviction that comes into the life of this son who's sitting kind of in the amongst pigs, trying to like make just a little bit of money, looking at pig food and thinking that would be better than what I have, which is nothing. And rather than just sort of throw in the towel or give into the discouragement and the desperation of his very real situation, something rises up in his heart that leads him to think, maybe I should go home to the Father. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's a conviction that alerts us to the reality of our need for a Savior, but it's a conviction that also in the same moment points us towards the Savior. And I sat and as I reflected on that, I heard the Lord speak to me a very specific phrase, and I heard it really clearly. I heard him say, clarion call. And as I sat and thought about the work of God in our lives as he calls to us and he moves in our hearts and lives, I heard this expression, one that I was sort of familiar with. I probably even would have used in a sentence. But when the Lord began to speak it, I thought, I should really look up exactly what does that mean. And so I looked it up and was listening to the Lord the whole time. Found out that a clarion call really kind of dates back to the 1800s. It was a phrase that came into existence to describe a practice that was way older than that. But the use of horns or trumpets to call to arms, to awaken, or like an alarm, so like watchmen on the wall would blow the trumpet, and people would wake up either literally from their sleep or kind of in a more metaphorical way from their daily activities or the places that they're, because threat was coming or war was starting or there was something beginning. And so this clarion call really is about a call to arms or a call to action. It's about a waking up, and it is connected very closely to the sound of a trumpet. And I played trumpet. Many of you probably don't know this. I played trumpet all through junior high and high school. Don't ask me to do it now. I'd be lost. Motor memory might be able to pound out like a really bad version of when the Saints go marching in or something, but that'd be about the extent of it. But one of the things, I always loved the sound. I always loved the sound. And when we were in Chicago, a good friend of ours, Father Brett, there is the priest at Church of the Resurrection. He's an incredible trumpet player. And when we were there for a conference a couple months back, there was times he would stand up and in the midst of sung worship, he would just begin to play the trumpet. And there's something about that sound. It just cuts through the noise. Like you feel it deep in the core of your being. Even physically, like that audible sound of a trumpet, it seems to cut right down to the marrow, you know? It kind of brings something up inside of you. It awakens you. It does the very thing that a clarion call is meant to do, even just by its audible sound. And so I began to pray about this and to look at the scriptures and even to kind of see, like, what was God doing and saying here? And as I did that, I came across this reality that trumpets, horns, this sound is all over the scriptures. In Numbers chapter 10, one of the big moments is when in Numbers chapter 10, the priests are actually instructed to use horns to sound trumpets in their priestly ministry. They sound them for different reasons. They sound them as a call to war. When it's time to go, to pick up and to go to war, they sound trumpets. But they also use trumpets to call to worship. When the trumpets were sounded in certain ways, the people knew it was time to come to the tabernacle for worship. It was a call of the heart into an awakening and into these places. The trumpet then becomes this incredible kind of alarm or signal. It's used often in the Old Testament as like a call to repentance. So the sounding of a clarion call, this trumpet sound, becomes used intricately in the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for people's sins and they're called in back into a right relationship with God, a trumpet is used to signal the year of Jubilee. This year when all debts would be forgiven and people would come home, and this trumpet sound kind of signaling the beginning of these kinds of things. And so I started getting kind of excited as I was reading this. And the Lord just, I think, exciting my heart around this idea of a clarion call. And then he brought me to Luke chapter 1, the gospel passage that I just read, where in Zechariah's prophecy about Jesus, about the Messiah, he says this of him. Still in the womb, he prophesies, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Zechariah is prophetically declaring the fulfillment of a prophetic promise from Samuel. When Samuel declared that there would come a day when there would be a horn of salvation rise up from the throne of David. It was a messianic promise, a messianic prophecy. And so here we see that this horn, this clarion call at the end of the day in its fulfillment, and I think this is what God was trying to say to me this last week, was that this clarion call ultimately is the call of the gospel in the person of Jesus Christ. The clarion call is the call of the gospel, the sounding, the voicing, the declaration of the good news of Jesus. Life and death and resurrection and ascension. And that the Holy Spirit moves, he labors in the lives of us and of the world around us to point to glorify Christ, to proclaim that gospel message to our hearts and into our lives, sort of like a trumpet would come in an audible way into our physical bodies. That it would cut through the noise and awaken us. That it would create a response. It would call for one. Like a trumpet strikes to the core of our physical being, so this gospel cuts through the noise, awakening souls. The sounds of trumpets, both in the Bible, but also just kind of throughout human history, have been metaphorically connected to a sound of strength. Metaphorically, a sign of power. And so trumpets you've seen often. Trumpets are sounded when royalty approaches or comes into a city or into a room. It's a declaration of power, of authority, of strength. And I believe that the declaration of the gospel here at Via Vancouver is to be a trumpet sound, a clarion call. And that as it sounded, it'll come with authority and it will come with strength. It will command attention. It will cut through noise. I have a few things that we've been discerning together as a community that I want to share with you. But I think the biggest one and the one that's really standing out over the rest is that we are a church called to sound a clarion call of the gospel. It's a clear sound. And it's a strong sound. And it's a signal of strength and power, a call to attention, a call to awakening. It is, in many ways, a call to war. In the place of the Spirit, where we would contend for and fight for the hearts and the souls of our generation and of this West Coast and here in Langley. And so as a church, we are called to follow Jesus. And before we talk about anything else that we do, I think foundationally God has been wanting to just highlight this and couch everything else that he's calling us to in this. That we are called to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus in response to the clarion call that we have heard. Over this last 3 years, I think one of the most profound things God has done is he has really boldly blown that trumpet in our own hearts and lives. Many of you have had the chance to go through Corpus, to sit through catechism classes, to sit in conversation together, to be in prayer and in the Word, and to allow the gospel to become like a clarion call. It's not like you'd never heard it before, but I would say if you're like me in this last 3 years, we've heard it like a trumpet blast. It has been loud, it has been clear, and in a sense, it has awoken things in us. We're not the same people that we were a year ago or 3 years ago because of the way the gospel has impacted our lives. And so as a church, I believe that was intentional on God's part. And that we're to follow him as those who have heard that clarion call, been awakened by it, changed by it, transformed by it. And that secondly, we're to follow Jesus by sounding that horn, by sounding a clarion call, and then receiving and serving those who respond to it. And so in a sense, we will in the Spirit declare the gospel like a trumpet player would sound the alarm. And then as a church to be ready with our eyes open, with our ears open and our hearts ready to see who is awakened by that call and to receive them and serve them in their response to it. Really, that is in many ways just a specific kind of picture or way of describing the ministry of reconciliation that God's been laying on our hearts over these past few weeks, months. I love that when I think of this and have been walking through this, realizing that this isn't something God just said this week. That this is really something God's been saying to us as a church this whole last 3 years together. In fact, probably even before that, it's a lot of the reason why we came together 3 years ago. We used to meet at PCC and we would stand in that room and the train would rumble by over and over and over and over. And there were some beautiful prophetic pictures and connections made with the sound of that train and the power and the movement and the momentum of it with the gospel. And so we talked about how the Lord is on the move. And he's coming like a train, which picking up speed, picking up momentum, and it comes with strength and with power. And that was the gospel. And then on the way to one of our conferences, I remember Tamara was on her way, and they had to stop and wait for a while on their drive because the train tracks were closed down. They were waiting to cross them. And they looked down and actually saw the tracks on fire. And so we talked together and we prayed into this, that there's like a fire coming. A fire of the gospel. A refining fire. A powerful fire. That this gospel message, we've heard it, and the Lord has been speaking it into the fabric and the core of who we are as the church. And here I just want to say, I think that we can really begin to think about who we are as a church, what we're to be doing, but you can be thinking too personally and as families about why God's brought you here and what it looks like for you to actively participate in the building and the life of this church as you think about what it looks like for you to sound that clarion call. I'm really excited to see what it's going to look like for us to continue sounding that call. The songs that will be written, the art that will be created. As we continue to signal it, to sound it clearly in the sacraments, clearly in the preaching and the teaching of the word, clearly in our service to each other and the world around us, in our presence, being people who listen and see and hear and acknowledge, in community as we share meals together and life together. I'm excited to see how God will lead us creatively for such a time as this, as we seek to partner with Him in this work of sounding that clarion call. The first verse that came to me when I was in prayer this week around this was Joel chapter 2. And in Joel chapter 2, we've got a couple things that stand out to us. One is the promise of the Holy Spirit that's fulfilled at Pentecost. But twice in that chapter, Joel says these words, "Blow a trumpet in Zion." And as I went to the passage and I began to read it, God showed me something I think is important for us to hold on to as we move forward as a church. First of all, when that trumpet is blown, two things happen. That clarion call comes and it cuts through the noise and it hits the core of our beings, and one of two things happens for people. And the first time it said is Joel chapter 2 verse 1, and we see following this blowing of the trumpet, this terror that ensues in hearts. It's the signaling of God coming in His power and His strength. And it strikes terror in the hearts of those who are in sin, who are not in relationship with God, not in the way of the gospel. Secondly, he says it again in the 15th verse, where he signals this trumpet in Zion, and it becomes again this sort of like cutting through to the core and waking up, bringing us to a recognition and awakening, but to bring us into repentance. John Calvin said this of the mention of Christ as this trumpet, Christ as this horn of salvation in Luke, where we read. John says, "Let it be observed that this horn brings salvation to believers, but terror to the ungodly whom it scatters or bruises or lays prostrate." Immediately I think of verses like 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, where it says that the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. I feel like when we need to understand that as we sound the clarion call of the gospel, it will cut to the marrow. It will cut to the deep in people's hearts and lives. But that we not be super thrown or super surprised when for some it calls to their hearts and stirs them to joy and expectation, brings them to repentance and into a relationship with Jesus. but two, not be super thrown off when at first or in some lives, it actually just creates a bit of an adverse reaction. In fact, the clarion call of the gospel clearly does just that. I love at the resurrection, Mary goes with Martha and a couple others to the tomb. And when she gets there, the stone has been rolled away and Christ is there. And it says that the guards were filled with fear and trembling, and they fell down on the earth as if dead. Mary and the women who had come see the same thing. Their hearts are touched in the same way. It says they are filled with fear and awe. They too are trembling, but they go away with shouts of joy. That the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel comes in and it touches our lives. And I think it should lead us into a place of expectation as we declare the gospel. As we walk it out in our lives, there'll be days when people don't just kind of get really excited and thank us for that. But who in their own fear and trembling need us to just come alongside, come around, love and serve them in a place of their own fear and trembling. But let that not kind of hinder us or challenge us to water down the gospel or to sound it with a little less strength. But to forever be those who sound it like a clarion call. Realizing that for those who are being saved, it is the very power of God unto that salvation. That it awakens and it leads us into life and into life of the full. So as a church, just a couple of things that have come out of this discernment season. First of all, what I've been speaking so much about. A clarion call of the gospel. I pray that it marks us as a church. And that together we begin to say in response to that, okay, God, teach us. Let the gospel become clearer and clearer in our hearts and our lives. Teach us how to proclaim it, how to sound that call. And for us to pray that as a church, but for all of us to pray that over one another, to begin to call it up out of one another. The specific gifts that God's given you, talents, passions, relationships, where he's put us. Lord, how do we sound that call where you've called us? But to kind of keep that before us as the instruction of the Lord to sort of sum up in some ways this grand thing that we're about doing as this, that we are a church who want to sound this clarion call of the gospel. Second of all, what's come out of our discernment process together very clearly is, it stems beautifully out of this clarion call, but is that we be a church who God has called to very specifically focus and prioritize outreach and mission. That we would be a church who partner with him in labor of reaching, loving, serving the lost and the prodigal. Both those who have not had faith or don't have faith in Jesus, and those who did and have had that faith deeply shaken or have altogether walked away from it. And herein lies this ministry of reconciliation, that we are a church who have been called to this ministry of reconciliation, but very specifically in the hearts and the lives of those who God has put in front of us and put on our hearts. And there has been actually a real focus on many in our lives who have walked away from the faith. And so we want the Lord to teach us how to sound a clarion call in those lives, in those hearts. In a way that cuts through, that speaks to the very felt need of those lives and of those hearts, the desires that they have. And so we're going to put a priority on that, both in our equipping, in our training, but also in our prayer and our intercession. And we're going to think about that in all that we do as we begin to build and shape what it'll look like for us to live and function and walk life out as a church over these next months. The third thing that came out of the discernment time together and closely connected to this is a real focus or a priority of kind of clarity around focus towards children. And I think in that, to talk about it almost as family ministry. That as a church, we embrace the whole family. and that we really make a priority of loving and serving kids. And so Via Kids is to be, we feel God saying, at the very heart of what we're doing. Not something that we have as a side project or that we do because we have to or our kids will be too noisy and we can't focus. But that it would shape our outreach ideas, that it would shape sort of our own thoughts about what it looks like to be involved. That it would shape our Sunday services, that it would shape everything that we are, and that we would look for creative ways to engage families and to serve and love their children. I think that's because God has a real desire to bring children to faith. I think it's also because, as he's put clearly on our hearts, the lives of the lost and the prodigal, many that the Lord's going to put in our lives have children. And part of their wrestle with faith is their own, but it's also theirs as parents. And how do we lead and serve our kids in this? And the fourth thing that's come out of our discernment time together has been some really beautiful clarity around where we're to be as a church. And so we've prayed through a couple of neighborhoods and we've prayed in many evenings. We've been listening to the Lord, and I've been listening to you and to one another, and we really feel like the Lord has highlighted Willoughby to us. Here in North Langley, a community just south of the highway, Willoughby is standing out to us as the place where we feel like God's saying, I want you to really put down roots there in that community. And so the way that I keep seeing it, even when I draw it out and work on things, is I usually write the word Willoughby with all these little arrows pointing out from Willoughby. That there's a sense in which obviously our heart and our service and our love will move out into North Langley, into Walnut Grove and Fort Langley. But it will also go out into the places where we live. So some of you live in Alder Grove, or you live in Vancouver, or you live in Cloverdale. That this will definitely carry out into those places. But as a church, feeling like God is just trying to give us a manageable sense of clarity to say, would you walk out this clarion call, sound it there in Willoughby? And it really seems to resonate for a lot of reasons for a lot of us. But one of the things that stands out to me is the main demographic here in Willoughby is young families. And so even as God has put these things of the lost and the prodigal and children and families on our hearts, Willoughby just lines up so beautifully with the things God's been burdening our hearts with. And so we're excited to continue to focus and to come into a life, corporate life together here in Willoughby. Our elders have had a meeting and really affirmed that. So have our key leaders here. Had a great meeting this last week with Sarah and with Alec and Jeff. And together just discerning and feeling a real sense of unity around this. And so we're excited to pursue that and to step into that together, to have sort of a definable area. Geography seems actually really exciting because we get to just begin to live out this gospel that's so deep in us and to sound that clarion call with some real focus. One of the first things that we're going to do together as a church in response to this, it's kind of been in the works for a bit, but we this week were able to, after hearing so clearly from the Lord and come to some of these decisions, is we're actually going to change the name of the church. And so for the past 3 years, we've been Via Vancouver. And as of this week, we're going to shift that to Via Church Langley. Just recognizing where God's put us, where he's called us to be. We want to respond in an active way. And so it feels really important that we focus and begin to bring life together into the place where God's put us. And so we're excited to make that change. If you go to the website, you'll see it'll already take you to vialangley.ca. If you go to viavancouver.ca, it'll just point you through to there. So there's no confusion. People don't get lost in the shuffle. But excited as we reach out into Willoughby to be able to say, hi, we're Via Langley. And for us not to have to answer the immediate question of, if you're Via Vancouver, then why are you here in Langley? Excited to just put down a flag, to put down roots, to say, we're here. And this is home for us. And we've come to that decision because we feel like the Lord has really led us into it. And so we want to celebrate that together. We've really been praying about these things, asking the Lord for clarity and direction. And I have to tell you, it feels really clear. It feels really peaceful. And as I spoke with many of you, it feels that way to you. And so I'm excited about that. That to me signals that the Lord is in this, that he is leading us one step at a time, that he is building his church. And it creates this sense in me as I look forward to what God's going to do and where he's going to take us and all that's going to require of us and the work that's going to have to go into that. I look at it and I'm able to look at it with rest in my heart, to see it as a light burden, as a right yoke. Because I look back and I see how he's brought us here, when at times I thought, how are we ever going to get where we are now? I can look forward and say, we're going to get where we're going the same way we got here. Yoke to Jesus in prayer, dependent on him. He's going to lead us and continue to give us clarity about what it is that he's called us to. And so today, as I share these things, I want to invite you to hear them, but I want to invite you to pray about them. And really specifically to recognize that a huge part of our heart as a church has always been and will continue to be that everybody gets to play. That God has brought us together and we are praying that he would add to our community in this season. And so there are lots of new people coming. And as they come, that they would enter into the same thing I'm saying to you. God has brought you to this time, into this space, and to be a part of this community on purpose, intentionally. And so to be in prayer about what it looks like for you to partner with us in the work of the gospel. If we're going to sound the clarion call of the gospel, that's not just going to be two or three of us making that happen. The picture is that we would do that together as one body. And that the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye cannot say to the ear, you don't need me. And so I really want to invite you to consider in these weeks, now that we've laid some of this out, to prayerfully go to the Lord and say, God, what does it look like for me to be an active part of what you're doing, of what you're bringing together? What are the gifts that you've placed in me? Lord, would you even begin to unite my heart with this vision? Unite my heart with in a deeper way and in an exciting way. Lord, I'm here. And to pray those kinds of prayers. As the Lord is speaking to you in response to those prayers, let me know. Share with one another. There's going to be all kinds of things as we move forward. We've got a bit of a timeline that I want to share with you here as I'm closing, just so that you can be excited and know the direction that we're in as a church. But even as you hear it, to recognize that as we walk this journey that I'm about to kind of lay out for you, as we walk that together, we walk it together. And it's going to be about us all stepping into active places of life together as a church. It's going to be a light and right burden, but it's going to be a burden. It's going to cost us, but it's going to feel, I don't know about you, but maybe it's because I don't get to do it super often, but when I go and I work a really hard physical labor day, like I refloor Pacific Community Church, and I come home and I'm hurting and I'm sweating and I'm dirty and I'm tired, I feel incredible because I've put my life and my heart and my body into something. So there's this sense in which we're going to come together. We're going to work together. We're going to sound that clarion call together. And it's going to tire us out some days, and it's going to push us beyond where we're comfortable and our limits. And we're going to find ourselves thinking, oh man, how do we get here? How do we do this? And yet I feel like there's this rest and this peace that comes when we recognize the whole time we're yoked to Christ. We're doing the work of the kingdom. And so for us all to just be praying and coming and just a kind of giving ourselves to this vision to say, Lord, we will sound the clarion call of the gospel in Willoughby. As you show us, we'll take those steps. We'll walk these things out. We're excited to do that together. And so a couple of things, three kind of steps that I'll just highlight for us. Between now and July, between now and the end of the summer, we're really going to shift. We're going to put our attention into a couple of things. We're going to grow as a team. We're going to grow as a church. And we're going to pray that the Lord would begin to bring others to join us. And so we're going to focus there in building an activation in our gifts to begin to identify the pieces of our passion. We're going to do a few things together. So we're going to have a concert with Luke in a couple of weeks where we're inviting, we're doing things. I'm going to get a few of you to help me pull that off. But even as we move forward, there'll be other things we'll do through the summer. We're talking about maybe doing like a kids thing where we do maybe a two-day art camp or something like that and bring kids together. And we're going to all partner together in these places and actually put our hands to the plow. But the purpose in that, to grow in our ability, our understanding of the gospel, and our ability to sound the clarion call. And so next week on Saturday, really want to encourage you. I had a great conversation with Scott, who's going to be leading us through a seminar on bold witness from 1 to 3 and then from 7 to 9 next Saturday. It's going to be fantastic. He was sharing some of the stuff he's been working on. But really such a great thing. Just as we just talked about this, we're going to talk about what is the gospel and how do I sound that clarion call in the lives of the people that you've put in my life. And so it's just dead on the mark. So we're going to do those kinds of things together. And so Sundays might look a little different through this season as we come together and just really focus there, because the other priority through this season and the next is outreach, is getting out into the hearts and the lives of the community. So we're going to do more prayer walks. We're going to talk about, especially once we're able to be together again, creating opportunities for people to come and see what God's doing. To be together, to hear the gospel, to ask questions, to grow together in those spaces. And so between May and July, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be an active part of this, what it means for everybody to play. And so for us to kind of build some of those. And then starting in the fall and September and through December, we're going to continue in those veins, but we'll be into what we're going to call a pre-launch season. And so for that kind of 4 or 5 months, we're going to really begin to prayerfully and actively work together to build and to shape what we need to be able to launch in the new year of 2021. To be able to launch a weekly service and an active kind of consistent presence in life here in Willoughby. So through September to December, one of the things we want to do is monthly preview services, where we'll work together through the month to then that once a month invite the community around us to come and to worship with us, to meet us, to hear our heart, and to see what it would be like to be a part of Via Langley. And so we just really excited about the way God's kind of helped us to put this together. You prayed for me as I went to Denver earlier this year for some church plant training. Lots of this plan has kind of been able to be shaped through some of my learning and coaching there. So just so thankful to God for the way that he's providing what we need. And so, so from now through the summer, we're really going to dig in together to grow in the gospel, to do outreach and connect with our community. And then starting in September, we will be working together to put together some vision nights and some monthly preview services. So that in January, February of 2021, we're able to open the doors and to be able to welcome in to us, in to be with us, the people in the, around us, to share that gospel message. So, just as we finish off here today and we're going to turn our hearts towards the Lord's table, and I'll invite you to come to Mike and Sarah's following our time here on Zoom to receive the bread and the wine, to participate in the sacrament of the Eucharist. I want to share with you something. I'm going to try this. I hope it works with the technology. I think I know how to do it. I actually reached out to my friend Brett, who is the trumpet player in Chicago. Brett, if he wouldn't have become a priest, probably would have been like a high-level trumpet player for his career. He actually had a very hard decision in his young adulthood to lay that down and to follow the call of God in his life in ordination. So he still has a real passion for it. He's an incredible player. And when I was thinking about this trumpet call, I began to think of Brett, and I asked him to put something together for us. And so I'm actually going to let, I'm going to play this video for you that Brett recorded this week for us here. And I want to encourage you to receive this prophetically today, to hear the sound of the trumpet. And my prayer is that as we hear it, that it would actually awaken in us, that it would speak to us of this vision, that it would call us to arms, that it would call us to attention, that it would awaken our own hearts and draw us in to this. So I'm going to...
Via Vancouver, my name is Father Brett, and my lovely wife Julie is helping film this video. Father Chad stayed with us a year ago in the spring, and that's when we began our friendship with him. My children remember it with such fondness that the other day we were listening to some via recordings and they heard his voice and they perked up immediately and said, "That's Father Chad, that's Father Chad." So with great fondness, we send greetings and our love. And also now we've been able to meet Jana and begin our friendship with her as well. So when Chad asked me to bring this gift to you, I was glad to do it. In the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter, Moses instructs the priests to sound the trumpet when the host of Israel is going forth to battle, but also on the days of gladness, on the appointed feasts. So may this be for you the sounding forth to battle, to mission, to spiritual battle, as well as the call to gladness and the feast of the Lord as you look forward with joy to his coming kingdom.